Sometimes I look at the way that we give our half-hearted, spotted offering and sacrifice to the Lord and say, well, it's just the best I can do. I am not blessed on just the best that I could do. Cain and Abel learned that, didn't they? There was one that came with his best and one that came with what he felt was the best that he could do. Because let me tell you about when you give the best that you've got, you don't care about your situation anymore. You don't care about if you've got the best lamb in the livestock anymore. You don't care if your house is the best looking one on the block. Yeah, I moved into a new house, but if I never get a couch to sit on, then I'm just going to walk around in my house and say, even though I can't sit down, Lord, I'm going to thank you for giving me a roof over my head. If I don't ever get a mirror in my bathroom, I'm going to shave my face with my cell phone and say, God, you've given me a bathroom, and I'm going to praise you for it. You can make lemonade with lemons. Sometimes it takes the hard things in life to cause us to be thankful for the sweet things God gives us. I feel it tonight. Let's read 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. This man was named Jesus, but to keep himself out of the spotlight and controversy of the public, changed his name from Jesus to Justice. Have you ever done anything to not make it just about you? Oh, it's getting quiet, ain't it, brother? Have we ever came into church and done something that made it not about us? Well, I'm here to tell you I'm doing it right now. I know I don't look pretty right now. I know my shirt's not where it should be right now. My feet are killing me, my back's hurting, and my head's busting. But you know what? I might not look the best to you. I might not be presentable to this world. But if I can just have a moment in time where I don't make it about me, but about him, then there's going to be something that flows out like rivers of living water that causes us to do better things for the kingdom of God. I've did my fair share of work on the church over there. Most of the siding, every piece of it that was from the bottom to the top, I was there at some point. And sometimes it wasn't glamorous. Sometimes it's not glamorous when you're starting to build something. I feel this. Sometimes it's not pretty when you're on your way to the end result. But you don't base your success on where you are when you're only halfway done. So when we regress and quench the spirit, when we don't see what we're looking for, then we're basing the blessing of God on something that's not even complete. Having done all to stand. That means don't look at your thing that's halfway done and say this is the best that it can be. Because when you look at it like that, you're not walking by faith, but by sight. Faith doesn't look with our eyes and say we're only halfway there. Faith looks at something that's halfway done and says, we're getting close to the end. Man, I feel the power of God. We're nearing. How many of you heard that song? We're nearing the shore. We're nearing the shore. Trouble soon will be over. We'll suffer no more. Come on, church. You are just on your way. Not even there. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Who is one of you means one that will stand with you in your time of need. If we always come in and don't move when we don't feel good, then when somebody needs us to have their back, we're not prepared. And when we're not prepared, the blood is on our hands. And when people need us to take a stand, we've got to be ready. He said to be ready in season and out, when it's convenient and when it's sure not. He said if somebody knocked on your door asking you for bread in the middle of the night, would you give them a stone? Would you hand them a serpent? Would you turn them away? When it's inconvenient, are we not doing this very thing when people are asking to be delivered and they're asking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I'm looking at what time it is and I've got to get to Charlie's. I've got to get to work in the morning. I've got to work tomorrow and do some stuff, but I'm going to preach as long as it takes. Because I know if I take care of this, he'll take care of me. If we don't learn to take a stand together, then we're not really a church. We're just a building full of people that say that we're going to one. The church is not four walls. It's the temple that agrees with yours. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll build it up. Isn't it amazing that the resurrection of Christ came out of a tomb that wasn't even meant for him? It's amazing that Jesus can take the very things that what is seemingly not meant for us to grow in, and he can take it and bring life once more. Let's read on. Verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath, say this with me, a great zeal for you, to them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Luke was a physician. He tended to those that were ill. And it's amazing that he called upon someone that oftentimes used their occupation for the glory of God. I'm a software developer and IT guy, and I generally know stuff about computers, and some of the work that I've done before, I've had to do and didn't get a dime. I've did work for people that's yelled at me before. I worked at Lincoln Memorial University for 3 years, and I worked at Tier 3 support. So when everything else failed, they rung my phone. And I had parents cussing me out saying, you know how much money we're paying for our kid to come here, and you're telling me they're not going to get all of their financial aid? I see this number on here, but you're telling me you only see that one? Yeah, I was there. Sometimes you have to use the very thing God has given you the talent to do for the glory of his kingdom. So sometimes, even at my job, I do things that other people take credit for. Oh yeah, they do. I was in a meeting the other day, and we were talking about something, and I leaned over and said something very insightful to my boss. About 5 minutes later, one of the vice presidents of our company looked over and said, sir, what do you think about this? The very words I leaned over and told him was the very words he said. And some of the people were like, wow, I think we could do that. And I'm sitting there with one of those semi-fake grins on my face like, mm-hmm. And just had to eat that one. It didn't taste too good going down. It's like a booger. You better never go there. There's no nutrition to that. But sometimes you're going to have people despitefully use you. But what did the Bible say for us to do? To bless them. Bless those who take advantage of you. So there I am. He took the glory. He took that feather right out of my hand and said, I'll put that right there. And you know what? I have not needed my boss to go and tell someone I needed a raise. God has always moved around them to elevate me. Don't spend all your time trying to prove yourself to man. If you're going to prove yourself to anybody, I want to be pleasing to my Lord. Lord, have I done all that I can do for your kingdom? Have I obeyed you to the best of my ability? Have I resisted every temptation that is coming my way? Friends, if you can fight that battle and win that one, he'll take that boss, move them out of the way, put somebody else in, and put you up elevated in a new position. It's not contention upon man, but your obedience unto the Lord. And Demas fell in love with the world and turned away from God. Something other than God captured his affections. His example serves as a warning to the church. Don't think you are too far away from temptation. Because just when you drop your guard is when the devil gets close enough to say, can you believe they said that to you? The nerve. You ought to tell somebody about that. Better go tell your mama, she'll take care of that. Get in a fight with your spouse and you think to yourself, is this what I signed up for? You just look up and say, seriously, God? If you never realized marriage was 100% compromise, you signed up for the wrong contract. I love my wife. She puts up with me. She's good to me. And all the times I'm not good. Verse 15 says, salute. We're almost finished. I appreciate you being patient. Verse 15 says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Nympha opened up her home and let the church meet there. She gave of her resources for the sake of the gospel. Now, you might think that you have nothing to give, but Christ can take the most ordinary thing and shape it to be a miracle. He took a child's couple pieces of loaf and a few fish, and as it was broken and given, he took what was ordinary and he blessed it to be extraordinary. He took, in all the parts of the Bible, he took things that was way too small. He took stones to David and said, you can slay him. They said, put on this armor. You don't know what you're doing. You're just a shepherd. We are masters of combat. Put this on. And what did he say? It's not been proven. Tried. The God that shouted me last weekend is the same God today. The same one that lifted me up on that day that the boss took the glory is the same God that I preach with week in and week out. The same God that took my ordinary, took it and did something extraordinary. He took my lack of salvation, my lack of direction. To not have direction is to be lost. He took my lack of direction and led me to a new beginning. And He's done that for all of us. And that's more than enough reason to celebrate and to worship. He can take your little bit and make a lot out of it. Let's finish this up tonight. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that to be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salvation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Paul's letter to the Colossian church contains the personal challenge to one individual. He is an example of how we are to challenge one another to do better. That means we're to provoke each other unto good works. We are to hold each other accountable. It's not always easy to be accountable. If you've been lying about something to somebody and you try to earn their trust, you better be ready to answer, where have you been? You better be ready. If you've ever done something and had your cell phone taken away, kids, you better be ready for your parents to get a hold of it and look at whatever you've been doing. You better surrender the password. You better surrender it, or they can just change the Wi-Fi password and turn data off, whatever they got to do. God is omnipresent, and that's what I love about it. Some people see God as omnipresent as, oh, I can't do anything fun. But you know what I see omnipresent as? Not do's and don'ts. Not don't do this and walk your life in fear. But I see omnipresent as, when you fall, I'm there and I'll help you get back up again. Omnipresent. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get back up every time. We've got to hold each other accountable. If you see somebody that's strong in God for about 3 weeks and a couple weeks later they begin to get a little bit weak, it's our duty as the body of Christ to ask them, what's up, man? What's going on in your life? There are parents that are too afraid to confront their children because they're afraid of the attitude they're going to get. But that accountability is worth far more than waiting till it's too late. It's better to ask the questions now than to look down the road somewhere when it was too late and say, why didn't I care more? Why didn't I do more? And that's what I'm asking you right now. Why are we not doing more? I'm holding all of us accountable. Why are we not being as fulfilling and obedient unto the Spirit when it begins to move? Why are we letting prayers just be lip service and our hearts far from it? Why are we letting church services go by week in and week out without the eager expectation of things to be different? Why are we letting ourselves settle for coming in and just letting it be like it was last week? Why are we letting the same thing go on week after week? Because if Satan can keep us in the same boat, we're not adding anything into the kingdom, and we're just a bunch of hypocrites that say we know the way, but you never see any good things come out of that body. If your organs are not functioning properly, those fluids will stay on you, and if those things stay on you, you begin to look like what you weren't meant to. Have you ever seen anybody that's put on like 30 pounds of fluid? They don't look the same. Some of you remember when I lost a lot of weight a long time ago, and so I can ask you this. Have you ever seen anybody that's put on like 40 or 50 pounds? They don't look the same. I saw my brother last week, and I thought, good, he's looking sharp. But have you ever seen somebody that didn't look the way that they once did? If you have the ability to see it and discern it, then God is making it your responsibility to go to them. If it's an individual relationship with God, then it's an individual relationship with the body of Christ. If we only worry about and say, hey, how you doing, and not pray about our church, about our people, about our government, about our school systems, if we're not praying for the things we're seeing going wrong, then when we look back in one day and say, why did prayer get moved out of school? Or why did God get moved out of government? If we look back and say, when did all of this sin become accepted by the world? Then we can do nothing more than look at ourselves and say, why did we not hold ourselves more accountable?